All right. So, continuing the discussion on characterizing the conceptual changes, we will take up a few other examples from history of science. But what we will do is, I will give you a task right now for all of you, which is not the task that you have to do it now, but you have to do it before, let us say, the next class. Next class is two, you have only few days left, so I will give one more week, so about 10 days, right? Because this is Saturday, so it's not fair that you have to come prepared only for the next Wednesday. The task is that each of you, I have to come out with a list of conceptual changes, okay? The particularly the ones which are really, really revolutionary. So which means you may possibly have to come out with a list of something like 16, such that about 12 of them will be chosen by you. Because each of you have to choose one of them for your seminars. Okay, now how many more lectures I am going to give in the rest of the semester? I am going to do one on evolution, one on chemical revolution, and one on William Harvey and taxonomy, and one more, I don't recall which one. So I am going to give you only four more lectures. Okay, after that, the remaining period is for you. That means each class, there will be at least 3 to 4 people. That means we have sufficient amount of time. So we'll be actually having presentations from you. So each of you will be given 20 minutes to present your episode. Of course, there will be no repetitions. So that is the reason why you have to first give me the list, and then we will all discuss who will do what. So if you have a larger list, then it's easier for us to choose.
Sir, only experiments
and conceptual changes. Yeah, I would call them great experiments that have led to conceptual changes. Because you know, if you have a list of experiments, I mean, there would be thousands of them. So not any experiment would do. So you have to pick out exactly those experiments or those thought experiments that did lead to conceptual change and some revolutionary change in the, and it can be from any science. It can be from biology, it can be from chemistry, it can be from physics, it can be even in mathematics. Okay, then what would be the mathematics thought experiments? That you have to decide. So if there is anything that is to do with conceptual change in mathematics, I would accept that as well. All right, so if you want to think of some important conceptual change, so if it is a mathematics example that you are taking, I would exempt you the experimental aspect.
So like,
but then there you will have to talk in terms of some proof, okay, in place of experiment. Yes, you are asking. You see, the idea is essentially that all that I am saying is that I want a total of 16 ideas. That means if some of you have more than one idea, do come with more than one idea. Then finally we will decide. And the decision and the negotiation will be done in the class itself. So we will decide until you satisfy.
One should come with one idea.
At least one idea. But more than one idea is also good. But then don't come with overlapping ideas. That's the idea. See, you should not say that, you know, you also choose one thing and then he also chooses the same thing. That will be the problem. Otherwise, what you can do is, you can all have an evening meeting in Kalina. Okay? And you can discuss among yourselves what each one of you are going to do. But then I also have to have an idea about what you chose. Because I want to, you know, make it comprehensive enough such that all the issues related to history of science and most interesting episodes of history of science have been completely taken up. Suppose everybody takes everything from physics, you know, then I would say no, that's not allowed. because you have to take somebody, some other concept, say something from chemistry, something from biology, so that you get a full field of the history of science as such. Okay, having discussed this, this is the task that you have to do. And of course, as you know, you can always go to the website and add those choices as well. There is no problem, or you can come and discuss those issues here. I wanted to, before I continue, I also want to remind you that, I mean, I am happy that you all took the exam very seriously, but I also want you to take the other part of the exam also very seriously, which is to finish all the assignments on the net. You gave it to her?
No.
Or me? It's uploaded, na? He gave you?
I gave it.
No, you don't have to write it again. You have the file, right? You just upload it. You can upload it yourself. See, your technical problem has been resolved, right? So I don't think you should depend on us. You can be independent. Do it on your own. So that would be your submission. So do it. I am not putting any close dates for any of these assignments. See, before I close the semester, I want all the assignments there. If you have already submitted an assignment, you want to improve it, you can resubmit the assignment again till the end of the semester. So 40% of the marks you are going to get on assignments, not on these things. So which means that you have a very good opportunity for you to complete all those assignments and gain more marks. So if any of you feel that you know, in this exam you haven't done very well, you have a good opportunity to redo those assignments and gain marks there, and then you can get a compensation. Alright? In any case, I said that these are not the maximum amount of marks, because this is going to be a small percent of the total evaluation. So that's why don't worry about it. Okay, let's get back to another important episode. In fact, it's possibly one of the widely discussed and debated episode, and that is of Darwin's contribution to science. So let us apply the Darwin's cream and find out what is before and what is after. So what is the shape of biology before and after applying Darwin? So let me hear some ideas from you. I mean, I think most of you would know at least that Darwin is one of the greatest biologists, very well known name. Do you know his contributions already?
Yes.
What is the contribution?
Evolution.
Theory of evolution. Natural selection. Which is correct?
Theory of natural selection.
Actually, Darwin is famous for theory of natural selection. Not for evolution, because evolution is already a known name. In fact, there are several times when evolution is known. Even in Indian, ancient Indian science, evolution is accepted. Greek science also, Anaximander was one of the first to propose the idea of evolution. And so evolution as an idea is not a new one. But the mechanism of evolution. So Darwin proposed a particular mechanism, and that's called natural selection. So we may not worry about what exactly was the view, but then you may have to think about what kind of changes in the conceptual scheme took place before and after Darwin.
Thank you.
No idea? Bolo. One thing I told you that having already confirmed that we are not discussing about what is the shape of biology before evolution and what is the shape of biology after evolution. We are discussing in specific to Darwin's contribution. So what you said is right as far as evolution idea is concerned. Like for example, Lamarck was also an evolutionary biologist. Erasmus Darwin, Charles Darwin's grandfather was also an evolutionary biologist. And there are several others who are also believing in evolution even before Darwin. So all of them believed that the species were not created by God as they are. They have evolved to this complexity. So in that sense, we are not discussing that issue. So there are some very important radical and a revolutionary statement that Darwin makes, because of which you can say, you know, there was something called before Darwin and after Darwin.
Theory of natural selection, he introduced the concept of nature playing a role in the before Darwin.
Complete what you're saying. No, you said something like he said that nature plays some role.
Yeah.
What is it?
Nature plays a role, but nature selects the.
Yeah, nature plays a role. Nature selects
the most other which are adapted to that condition.
Okay, nature selects those what? Those characters?
Those
species.
Those animals.
Those organisms. Which are well adapted.
Which are well adapted.
Okay.
In a way it selects certain characters. Because they are allowed to reproduce and others are not. So in a way the characters
go on. So all right. So you want to add on something to this?
Before Darwin,
So Darwin said what? That if the conditions are not suitable, then organism would adapt.
Adapt could make such the changes in itself to adapt to the condition.
So organism would make some changes such that it will adapt to the environment. So what he is saying is not what you are saying. What he is saying is something like this, that when an organism is put in a condition, if it is not suitable, then the organism will undergo some change such that it will adapt. Whereas what you are saying is that when the environment changes, those organisms which adapt will survive and others will not survive. So which of them is Darwin's view? Not that one? Okay. Now, I mean, you are right that this is Darwin's view. So then what is the main change here then in terms of before and after? So before, I mean, assuming that, you know, people believed in evolution, of course everybody didn't believe in evolution before Darwin, but then even among the people who believed in evolution there is a transformation view. And what was the main view? So some people thought that when an organism is put in a environment, okay, depending on the kind of environment, organism would transform itself to suit the environmental condition. And that's how evolution happens. So that was one of the views that was popular. But this is not a Darwinian view. Darwin clearly opposes this view, and he states that organisms do not have any capacity to change. And what he therefore says is the point, I mean, if you don't mention, I will tell you what. There was another important point which Darwin makes, and that is that in a population there is sufficient variation always. In a given population there is always sufficient variation, and there, that is the reason why when environmental conditions change, some of them will, who have suitable characters for that environment, will survive, whereas the remaining will perish. So the variations are always there. What is the cause of variation is something that Darwin doesn't ask. He says that question is not part of the mechanism of evolution. That may be another part of biology which he doesn't, is not interested. He is only saying that I am not asking the question of the cause of variation. But the cause of variation is certainly not environment, is what he says. He says that environment doesn't influence. Now the question then would be that a lot of people have this idea and a problem about then why is it called natural selection? Okay, so when he is talking about the natural selection, he has certain other views about it. Okay, we will discuss this issue in a little more detail when the time comes. But for the time being, you know, you have made some things. So what is before and what is after Darwin? One of the things, of course, was that the changes that the organism undergoes are not because of the environment. So what Darwin says actually is that all organisms have variations. So variations are always there. So it doesn't depend on, the adaptation doesn't depend on the organism's internal changes. Can you think of any other changes that Darwin has brought in? That is pertaining to the question that you just asked is unanswered, which is from how do the variations come from? And according to Darwin, the variations have no reason, they come randomly. They may not have any specific reason. So randomness is also one of the important aspects of random changes. So random changes, that is the variations occur randomly. There is no specific reason why they happen.
So then this against the only physical evolution
and
physical cause.
No, he's not denying the physical cause, but he is only denying, he is only saying that there is a chance that some particular change took place is because of a chance, not because of design. Imagine the difference is this. Is it by chance or by design? By design would mean what? That organism has a plan to have that kind of change and it looked for it. Or God has designed that change and introduced that change. There was no such thing. The events happen randomly. He is not saying that events don't happen and the event that happens is not physical. So that's not what he's saying. All that he's saying is that these changes are random. They are not designed by some. So evolutionary change is not. So what was the previous evolutionary idea? The previous evolutionary idea was that the changes happen in such a way that it is advantageous to the organism. Darwin says there is nothing like that. Changes may be disadvantageous as well. And another important thing that Darwin opposed, the third point, as a consequence of the second point, is that whatever is adopted doesn't mean that it is the best fit, or the most complex, or the most evolved. So according to Darwin, there is nothing like most evolved. That's a misconception. So what is the best evolved is not necessarily the best organism possible. It only means that given the environmental condition, that is organism that fits there. That doesn't mean that that particular organism is the best ever possible. So this whole idea previously was that evolution is a development. So he contested that evolution is not a development. So is evolution development? So Darwin's idea was no. Evolution need not be a development. It's a change nevertheless. Evolution is a change. But evolution doesn't lead to good changes always. It may lead to good or bad. So good and bad is something completely meaningless to Darwin. What is fit and what is unfit is what makes sense to Darwin. Why? Because it is always in the context of in which environment the organism fits in. So that way, evolution should not lead to any positive value associated to it. So if you have a positive value, then there is something called development. So there is no issue of development. So it is like evolution without development is Darwin's idea. But previously, when people had a view of evolution, they always thought that evolution always leads to development. Okay? I mean, these are some of the contrasting things, and that's the reason why Darwin's theory continues to be controversial and it doesn't fit with most people's ideas, and therefore it remains a debatable issue both among scientists as well as non-scientists.
No, sir, evolution, it should have a positive value, because if there is something non-desirable, it will die out. It will be removed from the nature. It will not allow to propagate in the next generation or something like that. But idea is, before Darwin there was Lamarck, okay, and Lamarckian idea was that the organism has a tendency to use and disuse his body organism. So accordingly they modify. So the role of organism was more important than the role of nature. But Darwin's idea was that the role of nature was more important than.
That's right, and therefore you are already saying that it is not the character that matters. The character, suppose I tell you that there is a brown butterfly. Some butterfly was brown. That doesn't mean that brown butterfly is the one that is adopted, let us say. Okay, let us say all the black butterflies perished. Only brown butterflies lived. Now, does it mean that the brown butterflies are good? Are well evolved? Darwin says no. They fit into in the current conditions that are there.
Yes.
The brown butterflies have well. That doesn't mean that the black ones are not well developed.
Sir,
even if they are well developed, at least in this environmental condition, they don't fit.
That's
precisely the point that Darwin says. That is a meaningless concept. So he made development as the positive negative issue about a particular character being good and a particular character being bad is something meaningless in evolution, whereas in biology that was considered a very important concept. So this was the very important radical change. Of course, we have done a lot of studies. People are doing a lot of studies all over the world. Most of the people don't understand Darwin's theory anyway, even today. So a lot of people who think that they understood Darwin's theory are known to falter at many of these points that I mentioned right now. So these are the issues. So if you really wanted to build a kind of changes like this, you know, it's like very, very clear demarcation. So if you are a Darwinian or not, it's very easy to work out.
Sir, according to Darwin, if a particular species, some are there to adopt that particular climate and some are not. Some will die, some will remain, then how it will evolve.
Yeah, so that's the whole issue that of course we will be studying in detail. I'll give you the whole conditions. There are mechanisms that very clearly elaborated. One of the most important mechanism is what is called accumulation. Okay, some features accumulate due to isolation. So it's not just one idea that is out there. So there's a group of ideas that work together to bring out what is called speciation according to Darwin. We will discuss the exact mechanism a little later, but right now we are trying to see exactly what are the views that he's changed. So before Darwin, people thought that evolution was a positive development thing that happens, and then there was some kind of an idea that it always leads to greater and greater complexity. The other thing that they also had was that there was a design, that means there was some kind of an inbuilt evolutionary mechanism. But he proves that there is no such thing, that the variations come randomly, they don't come preferably. And one more thing that we discussed previously, what was that? I discussed these two things. Before that, I discussed one more important distinction. What was that? I made three distinctions. So the previous distinction was related to the variations. That is the variations.
Which have adopted.
So it's not the organism that changes,
nature.
But the nature selects. So exactly the meaning of nature selection I will explain a little later. It's not something, because it will always lead to a lot of misconceptions. So we would clear those misconceptions a little later. So let us take. I don't know. We have not much time. But let me take one more example nevertheless. We have at least another 7 to 8 minutes. So you need some break before your next class? So let me take another example. So this time we will take an example from biology. And this time this example is much earlier to Darwin. And this was to do with how to classify the organisms. In one example that we took in the morning part, we discussed that habitat was not a good choice. But then we haven't resolved that issue. Then what should be the thing? Anatomy. But then which anatomy? Which anatomical part? Because you have so many anatomical things. So which one should become the basis? It remains a very big question. Like, should I classify animals on the basis of the structure of heart? Should I classify the organisms on the basis of the structure of leaves or roots? Or, you know, there are so many structures. Anatomy means so much. So how do we make the distinction? How do we work out these changes? So that also was one of the major revolutions that took place. The taxonomy at one time was done on various criteria. One of the popular ways, for example, Theophrastus, we discussed, and some of you have already read and discussed, and some of you have written very well, that you made a distinction. Like, for example, on the basis of the size, plants were distinguished, like as shrubs, trees, herbs, you know, medicinally useful and not, and things like that. So such classifications are very widely known. So that's the kind of taxonomy that you had at one point. But then the famous botanist who created a very important revolution in botany particularly was, can you name the person? Linnaeus. So Linnaeus made an important change. So now the question is, what was before Linnaeus and what is after Linnaeus?
Everything
was what?
There was not proper classification.
Where after Linnaeus? Now what was the mixed up? So you are saying that they are mixed up, but in what way? After that, of course, I mean, so there was some kind of achievement nevertheless, but then what was the reason? Why was there such an important achievement before and after Linnaeus? And a similar thing was also done for animals. And so for animals it was done by a French zoologist. What was his name? His name is I'm forgetting the name of the person. I know the theory but not the name of the person. I'll just recall in a moment. I mean, I won't tell you the theory right now, but you have to tell what do you think would be the... No, that we agreed, that anatomy is a physical characteristic, right?
Yes.
So anatomy is already agreed upon. It is not based on habitat, but we have to be based on anatomy. But the point is that, as I said, there are so many organs in the body of both plants as well as animals. So which organ should you select is the issue. Or which property should we take, which structure should we take? So Linnaeus' idea was, based on this, that we will take flower as a criteria. And lo and behold, it was such a fascinating idea that whatever he took, sometimes the classes and the kind of groups that he got were surprisingly so similar. Just by looking at the flower, he made classifications, and it turned out to be so fascinating that everything fell in place nicely. So previous to that, everybody was looking at, you know, the size, external changes, like looking at even things like, for example, the size of the leaf and so on and so forth, and even things like, you know, whether they are big or small, whether they lived in deserts or in the water and things like that. So all kinds of changes were looked at. But after Linnaeus, things sort of changed completely dramatically. He disputed all the earlier theories and said that just on the basis of the flower, you'll be able to classify the organisms. And then he looked at the properties of those groups of organisms. Some of them happened to be trees as well as shrubs and herbs, but they all fell in the same category. But then the kind of fruits that they produce, the kind of seeds that they produced, and the kind of manner in which they all were looked at was quite good. And then he got a further confirmation also from, for example, which plants were ancient and which plants were recent from the point of view of so later on that kind of evolutionary match was also obtained. But then Linnaeus himself was not a person who believed in evolution. So Linnaeus didn't believe in evolution, he did only the classification. And he thought that every species is so different from the other. But then later on, ironically, that same classification helped support the evolutionary idea. And some of them were considered to be ancient than the modern kind of species. And in the case of animals, it turned out that the anatomical features, so which anatomical feature again is the important difference. And then it turned out that the embryological, that is the embryological development of the organism, was considered the best criteria for classifying organisms. So they looked at how a single cell becomes a multicellular organism. So, and what are the means of that division? So today, for example, the modern classification mechanisms inside animals, the classification mechanisms are dependent on embryological differences and not on the differences related to the thing. Say for example, whether the organism has placenta or not, whether the organism develops from egg or not, whether the organism has, you know, what kind of, how many layers are there in the animal at the time when the embryo is developed. Those are the basis on which the classification is made. So this was the kind of distinctions that were made. So based on the internal anatomical structures, the embryological differences the animals were made. So these are some of the important revolutionary changes that took place inside the animal kingdom. But then if you look at these changes, what is the most important thing that happens is that, of course, this is the last point that I want to make before I close the session. Conceptual changes are happening. What Darwin said, can you also say for the science? Science is growing, right? There is development in knowledge. Can we call this development in knowledge as development, or should we say there is evolution? And if it is evolution, is it Darwinian or non-Darwinian? That is to say, is there real growth in knowledge, or is it just a change in knowledge? Now, when we are saying it's just a change in knowledge, that means there is no development. Pardon? So then you have to really come out with good arguments to say that. So for example, we said Aristotle's theories were wrong, or at least that's what Galileo argued. Now our views today are more closer to Galileo's views, at least in physics. Does it mean that Galileo's views are correct and Aristotle wrong? Or is it just that we accepted Galileo's views and rejected them, as if it's just a matter of consensus? But don't take them on the face value. There's a very strong views among the scientists. Some of them actually say very clearly that what Darwin was saying actually happens even in history of science as well. So history of science, if you look at it like evolution of ideas, even there is something called natural selection. And the natural selection here happens by social selection. So they apply the natural selection model within the society and then say that some ideas get adopted in certain societies. So he says the society adopts the ideas. But it could be the case that the ideas are adapted to society. I mean, so say for example, there are times when people did not let, for example, a person like Socrates. Okay, today we appreciate Socrates so much, but he was not appreciated in his own lifetime. He was asked to drink poison. The society didn't react to it in any way. So the point was that, then how do you know which idea is better, which idea is wrong? Today we consider Socrates' ideas so important and so interesting. But whereas in his own times, he suffered a lot. So maybe the point was that whatever variation that he introduced, okay, did not fit that area, did not fit that society, but it fits some other society. Therefore, how do you know that these ideas are actually good ideas? Now you see, this is one of the major problems in history of science. So just understanding the various episodes is not the only thing. You also have to enter into this kind of interpretation problems. That is, as I said, I mean, science is about interpretation. Right in the beginning we talked about interpretation, but at the same time even history of science requires to be interpreted. So this is a major interpretation problem that we have. Just as we looked at this problem in Darwin's theory, we also have this problem here. And this problem is there advancement in science? So there are two camps. One camp of scientists say that there is no advancement in science. The other camp says that there is advancement in science. There is a real growth in knowledge. We are moving closer and closer to the truth, is one view that talks about. The other view says there is nothing like truth. It's all nonsense. It just depends on how many of us get together and vote for a particular theory, and that's what is considered to be truth. That's what is considered to be the most popular thing. So if you all accept that Newton is right, Newton is right. If you all accept that Einstein is right, Newton is wrong, Einstein is right. So it all depends on how many people, or how many powers, how many people accept for them. In any case, as we said, you know, only 1% of the people actually understand science anyway.
Proved by experiments.
Pardon?
There are experimental proofs.
But even those experimental proofs have to be interpreted, right? And interpretation also is a kind of social consensus.
They can be interpreted differently.
Anyway, so I am just introducing this problem because history of science is not just so plain and simple. So now that we are going to discuss these episodes, we are going to discuss this conceptual change. Each time when we are discussing this conceptual change, all of you have to address this issue. So I am asking each of you to address three issues whenever you discuss each of these episodes. We will be discussing those episodes in my own. So I am going to give you four more lectures, and in these four more lectures, in each of them, I am going to discuss these three things. What are those three things? What is the conceptual change? What are the experiments that brought about that conceptual change? And the third thing that I am going to discuss is that, is there any advancement in knowledge? Did that change led to any advancement, or is it just that it just transformed your knowledge? So is the transformation actually an advancement or not an advancement? So these are the three things that I also ask all three of you to discuss and debate whenever you are doing the presentations. So you have to convince. If you say that there is an advancement, you have to convince that there is an advancement. You had a question. Yeah, I just mentioned casually, yes, I did mention that. I mean, in the sense that it's a controversial thing is what I mentioned. In the sense that some of the views of Darwin are still considered very controversial. So there is not necessarily, but then majority of the biologists consider Darwin the person who will answer all the biological issues. So he is considered still the master. So is that clear to you? So now what we are going to do is, we are going to discuss few more episodes. But now most of these episodes that we are going to discuss are all after 17th century. Okay, so whatever episodes, whatever experiments that you are going to pick up, okay, pick them up after 17th century. Because we are now moving to the modern part of it. But then you have to bring in terms of, keep in mind what kind of conceptual change each episode took place. What are the experiments or thought experiments that are involved in that episode? And the third one is, does that episode actually involve any advancement in science or not? Alright, so we'll stop here.